Good evening, friends. It's a joy to bring you this gospel message. This is not just a subject. This is the greatest subject in life, needed more than any other. The gospel of my blessed Lord Jesus. And it is the great privilege and the great responsibility for every Christian to proclaim the gospel of Christ. And I challenge every church and every teacher and every leader to be evangelical. Take heart and take the commission of that great commission from our Lord to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, some churches have got away from it. You know, some Christian business associations that I go to and started off evangelical and had to haul full. They start to become non-evangelical and they get less and less. And in 10 years I go back and there's none left. Because they haven't carried out the number one commission to preach the gospel of Christ. I love the testimony of Paul. He says, I'm not separated to any church. I'm separated unto the gospel of Christ. Amen. If every Christian here could go forth from this night and be separated unto the gospel of Christ. The church we gather is our spiritual home. Some customs different from some others. But don't let's get us bogged down with them and debate them too much. Because our great commission to the Lord comes is to preach and teach the gospel of our blessed Lord Jesus, the good news. The old story. Old but ever new. What subject are you going to preach it from, Mr. Preacher? It's the same gospel under any subject. You could tell it in 2 minutes. It is so simple it confounds the wise. We come back to the little child that hears it and comes in trust and accepts. Man born in sin from Adam. Redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And brought back to his Maker and his Creator God. Reborn in spirit and redirected. And claiming the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross as his Savior and Lord, a brilliant and a lasting conversion, the gospel. And isn't it a great privilege that we stand tonight in Australia and we have the freedom to preach the gospel of Christ? Not free in Russia. Not free in many countries. The great Eastern Bloc. Dear friends, you have fellow Christians who make great sacrifices to preach the gospel of Christ. And you can do it in your own home, in your own corner, in your own church. Let's be challenged. Tonight we're going to preach it from a subject that I love, Christ the Shepherd. We're going to read John chapter 10, possibly one of the great gospel chapters of the Bible. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them. But they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now we come to the great basic truth of this wonderful gospel. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Amen. It's a wonderful chapter. The great image of the Bible, the people as sheep. I think you've heard me speak on the sheep of Psalms. Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray, turned every one to his own way. That's easy to find. The world is lost today. They're going round in circles. They can't give me the answer to mountains of food and people dying of famine. They can't give me the answer to political boundaries. They can't give me the answer to the colour of a man's skin. They can't give me the answer to gold and the monetary system of the world, where some are in slumps and some are in burns. They can't give me the answer to trade barriers. They can't give me the answer to the drugs that man has brought that this young man's testified to. And they're just like shepherd's sheep, walking around, going astray, and they don't know where to go. You see, dear friend, the world is lost without a shepherd. Just like those sheep out on those farms, if they had no shepherd, they're lost. They wouldn't be shorn. They wouldn't be cared for. They would not be dipped. You'd go back and find them dying and lost and wandering round. And wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed on all men. What a hopeless tragedy. Born of Adam and lost in sin. Those little babies born of Adam and lost in sin. Every person born of Adam and lost in sin. Hopeless. The saddest story that ever preacher could ever make. But oh, the wonders as we come tonight and preach the message of hope and life. As in Adam we die, so in Christ we live. You get the message, dear friend? As sure as you're going to die in Adam, you're going to live in Christ. As sure as you see the funeral go down the road and you know Methuselah lived 969 years and he died, you can't dodge death. Well, as sure as that, if you give your heart to Christ tonight,
you're going to live forever. As in Adam, I die, God forbid. Thank God I was reborn in Christ. Because my testimony tonight is as in Christ, I live. That's why the Christian can say, death where thy sting, grave thy victory. Because he's born again in Christ and claims his great promise. Thank God for his church. Thank God for the body of Christ. Thank God for that little flock. You know their testimony, that little flock? I was lost, but Jesus found me. And when Godfrey's preached in some big Anglican churches, and all the hierarchy sit there, and all the deacons and all these special seats, and he says, the flock of God is made up of lost sheep, people start opening their eyes. What's the preacher saying? Amazing grace! I once was blind, but now I see the testimony of every true Christian. Tonight as we preach this gospel, dear listener, strip yourself of all the pretenses. And go back to the time when you were lost and Jesus found you. And if that has never happened in your life, dear listener, and even dear listener to this tape, stop in your bedroom, in your car, stop it where you are. And face this wonderful Savior who died on Calvary's cross for you. And give your heart to the Lord. And be lost and found. Blind and see. I was lost, but Jesus found me. Found the sheep that went astray. You know, the Good Shepherd speaks to me. I don't think it was just by chance that the Lord said, I am the Good Shepherd. I know there's a dear brother gave his testimony here tonight, this man from somewhere on the radio. I'm standing on this string, I've got to watch it. He said they worked 39 and a half hours and more. I'd like to tell you, dear brother, that the hardest workers in this life are shepherds. I've seen people working by the clock. I've seen people talking about shift work. I have been to the Highlands of Scotland, and I have seen on a back hearse 1,000 black-faced ewes buried in snow. A sudden snowstorm and the hearsel's covered and nothing you can do for 3 days as it pours down. And when the snow stops, there's a mountain covered in snow and there is 1,000 sheep buried. Do you think this shepherd is shift work? He takes his boots and he starts at the bottom of that hearsel and he tramps a track till he sees a hole in the snow and he digs down and in the corner of a rock he finds 5 sheep and their breath have made a little room and he turns them out down the way and he goes a bit higher and he looks for another hole. They will live for 1 month till they start eating their wool. Does he come down home and sit in the chair and say, well, that's a two-hour shift? His wife tells me that man can't sleep. Not for money, not for the cost of the sheep, but he can't bear for one of them to die. And he tramps himself day and night. It's the toughest work in the world to save his sheep. Describing something, Mr. Preacher? We're not just talking about some profession. We're talking about a shepherd who loves his sheep.
Why don't they have sheep in the Highlands of America now, those great 100 miles of Rockies? Because there are no more Bass shepherds. Do you know there are millions of acres covered in the best pasture and mountain flowers in the world that will fatten a lamb in 2 months?
And there's not a fence for miles, and it's covered in snow in the winter, and the summer they are that great mess. And a best shepherd takes 5-10,000 sheep, and they drop up goods in him from a little moth plane once a week, and he just goes from mountain to mountain. And he brings back 10,000 sheep all fat after 3 months. But he faces, as I said, a grizzly bear in the night. It's his domain. The dogs bark, and a big grizzly bear goes through, and he'll just pick up sheep and send them in each direction. Does the best shepherd run away and hide behind a tree? He takes a shotgun, and he goes straight out, and a grizzly bear's touching his sheep, and just the shepherd. He faces it in the moonlight, alone on the mountain. And he shoots it there, because he loves his sheep. I am talking about a cause, a feeling, a shepherd that can't sleep if there's anything wrong with his sheep. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd, I lay down my life for the sheep, it speaks to me. I don't know how hard your heart is, dear listener. I don't know whether the cross of Calvary has ever broken you down. But would you just take with me 2 or 3 minutes and live that scene again? The soldier said, if he wants to be a king, let's make him a king. And they plait a crown of thorns. And they press it upon his head. And they put on him a purple robe. And they put a reed in his hand. And they scoff him. And they spit in his face. And I know these men. I've seen men like this. Mob rule. The Lord in the middle. The blood running down his forehead. Cursing and swearing and spitting in his face. You think you're a king. The Lord of life and glory bows his grace in front of them. And I hear him say, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. They lead him forth in Pilate's hall. All the religious men of the day, crucify him, crucify him. He's a blasphemer. He's an imposter. Hear them in the main street of Sydney or Melbourne, would you? The Lord of life and glory led forward, crowned in thorns. He could have called a legion of angels. No. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. The great wooden cross, if you ever go to Los Angeles, stand and see the painting. It brought tears to my eyes. You know, it's the scene of Calvary. There's two thieves crucified on the cross each side. They've got the hole dug. They've got the Lord of life and glory. They've nailed 2 hands and 2 feet. And they're just about half lifting the cross up to dump it in the hole. And it's one of the paintings that people stand by, and I see them burst into tears. The very Creator, the Lord of life and glory, on Calvary's cross, and He died for me, and I hear Him say, I'm a good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Have you got a hard heart? Well, dear listener, if Calvary does not break your heart tonight, it must be really hard. May the Spirit of God speak to you as you see this wonderful, blessed Lord Jesus, born of a virgin, walk this scene as a man, created beautiful miracles and gave us the lesson of love and living, but for the one purpose, to go all the way to the cross, and to be made sin, and to shed His blood that we each may live by faith in Him. Blessed Lord Jesus,
I bow before this good shepherd and I own him and I love him and I accept his sacrifice. And I says, thank thee, Lord, for dying for me. Would you do that now as you sit in the seat? Oh, dear Christian, be moved in your heart when you survey the wondrous cross. And see from his head, his hands, his feet. See it spiritually like you've never seen it before. The sorrow and love that flow mingled down. And hear him say to the very ones that hammered the nails and cursed in his face, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Never man spake like this man. One of the toughest men of the day. One of the hardest men of the land. Crucified on the cross beside him. It so broke his heart. He said, Lord, remember me. And he said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. What a shepherd. What a savior. What a redeemer. My good shepherd. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Thank you, brother, for your testimony. And that wonderful verse. No righteous, no not one. We're not redeemed by corruptible things of silver and gold. Not by works, lest any man should boast. By grace are ye saved through faith. By the love of Calvary made it possible. And by the trusting faith of a little child. That's redemption. Could never be redeemed without the grace of my blessed Lord Jesus. What have I to do? One step of faith. That's not asking much, is it? It's so simple it confounds the wise. And dear friend, every time you see a sheep and a shepherd, may God challenge you to hear him say, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for you. May it speak to you. Now we turn to the next shepherd. I love this shepherd just as much too. It's the same person. But in a different context. The good shepherd becomes the great shepherd in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. And now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. The good shepherd Easter Friday. The great shepherd Easter Sunday. His death paid sin's price. His resurrection gave the victory. The stone is rolled away. He is not here, he is risen. The great foundation of Christian faith is a risen Lord. And the modernist starts to put a little thin end wedge and start doubting. Dear listener, I believe in the physical resurrection of my blessed Lord. They tried to bind him in the grave. They tried to seal the tomb. They put an army out and they challenged my God. And up from the grave he arose Easter Sunday. A mighty, good, great shepherd. If he was still on Calvary, we might as well shut the lights out and go home. But thank God he lives today. This is not that 50-foot butter that we're talking about this morning. This is not some person they say that's where he's buried. This is the Lord of life and glory, the name above every name, the resurrected Lord, sitting on the right hand of God, caring for his sheep and praying for them and leading them just right across the world this day. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that eateth of me will live forever. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, That's salvation. That's reborn with Christ. That's living in the power of his resurrection. You ask me how I know he lives? Well, he lives within my heart, that's how I know. And I don't know what any long debates. Come forth, Lazarus. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What do you think Lazarus felt like sitting at the table? I've often thought about that. You know, Lazarus must have looked across the table and said, there's my Redeemer. I've lived one life and died. Now I live anew in this wonderful person. Wouldn't that have been a privilege? Don't you realize, dear listener, in spirit this Easter Sunday, that you do just that? That you're reborn in Christ and you're risen with him. And you live in the newness of life. And you claim his promise to live forever. And old Adam fades away, doesn't he? The hair's going grey and the strong men bow themselves and have these stupid glasses and you go to the dentist and you read Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and you read all about it. Man goes to his Lord. Doesn't mean anything. Because I sit at the table with the Lord. A resurrected Redeemer. A great shepherd. Dear listener, believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And confess him as Savior and Lord. There's another shepherd I love very much too. And this is the chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you'll receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You know, Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. It is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Oh, Paul, you're going to have a crown. Dear Paul, if everyone ever deserved a crown, you do, dear Paul. But you know the wonder of wonders? That his crown's my crown too. Because he said, not to me only, that it be to all those that love his appearing. And we won't be looking at Paul's crown when he comes. All eyes will be looking at the chief shepherd. That come for his church. You know, he's got to come. You know what the critic says to me? Godfrey's been coming for 1985 years. That's a long time. You don't think he's coming. How long are you going to wait? But he's coming. Because he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, that was before Calvary. That was before they crucified him. That was before he shed his blood. That was before he died on the cross. I wonder how many stood and thought of his words, if I go. Praise God, in the first chapter of Acts, they saw him go and rise unto his Father and open the heavens for all that believe. Well, he says, as sure as that, I'm coming again. Amen, Lord, I claim that promise. The chief shepherd's coming. When's he coming? Stand on a hill, 1974 in America, and it's going to be tonight, they worked out, and they waited and waited and waited and waited, and the sun got up, and then he didn't come. Why didn't they read the Bible? No man knows the hour nor the day. No man knows the time. But there's some things we do know. It will be when we least expect it. And some other things we know. There'll be two sleeping in a bed, and one will be taken and the other left. There'll be two working in a field, and one will be taken and the other left.
There'll be a family sitting at a meal, and 9 will be taken and 1 left. 1 go and 9 left. Dear listener, be challenged. Will you be left when the chief shepherd comes to his church? Revival in the barn home. One dear Christian, Katie Barn, Walter Barn, a great big guy, 50 years of age, hadn't given his heart to the Lord. 3 big boys and 2 little boys. Great revival in Hastings. Dad and the 3 big boys give their heart to the Lord. The 4th boy, he didn't know what was going on, he's a bit worried. He woke up in the boys' room 2 nights later and there was no boys in the room. He thought the Lord had come and he was left behind. It'd been a revival. And his mother was a great snorer. So he crawled down the passage to see if Mum was there. And when he heard her snore, what relief. What relief. That's your preacher today. The boy back 10, he went and gave his heart to the Lord. He never kneeled down and crawled in the night to hear if Mother was snoring again, because he knew if the Lord come, he'd be with her. Thank God we'll be together. Thank God we'll be together when the chief shepherd comes. You see, the 10 bridesmaids all looked the same. They all had the same lanterns. They all had the same outward appearance. They all said the same things about the bridegroom, the beautiful wedding. Isn't it a great thrill to be here? But only final 5 of them had oil in the lamp, an indwelling Holy Spirit. And 5 of them were all show. Dear friend, any showman here tonight? Anybody putting on an act to please Mum and Dad, husband or wife? Come on, be honest before the Lord. I'm asking you shortly, as I make an appeal, to put oil in your lamp and be ready when the bridegroom comes. Very essential. You know, will I turn for the 4th shepherd? Well, you haven't studied this message much if you don't know where I'm going to turn for the 4th shepherd. This is because I'm going to turn to the most beautiful psalm that was ever written. When David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Amen, David. That good shepherd who died on the cross. That great shepherd who rose again to give us everlasting life. That chief shepherd again that's coming to put us forever in his kingdom. I stand tonight and I trust you stand with me and say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Amen. My cup runneth over. Does yours? Dear Christians, is your heart filled with love and bubbling over in gratitude to the shepherd? Dear listener, if you know not this experience, open your heart now and stand with David and us all and say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Amen. And as I close, we go back to this chapter that you've got opened in your lap, John chapter 10. Verse 26, "But ye believe not, ye learned men, ye religious men, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me."
Samuel. Samuel. Four times, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Thomas, behold my hands. Saul, Saul, struck from his horse, blind. But he was the gardener. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I heard that voice as a boy of 10. I've heard it many times since, but I have never forgotten the first call. And dear listeners, we close this evening. God calls you by name. To hear his voice, be one of his sheep, and follow him, and claim that eternal life, and live forever. May God challenge you, each one.